We are family. So in our third message today, so the first one we looked at, Jesus' radical call to family. That you can't follow Jesus on your own. It's not how Jesus describes it. Christianity is what you do in community, but it's more than just community. Actually, it's a call to family, to live together as family. Last week, Emily unpacked the characteristics of what it looks like for that family life together. And this week, we're looking at a radical way of being church or family. And we're going to look at why we're a Baptist church. So I was in Israel a few months back, and this is a place called Banyas. Banyas is a place, in the Bible, it's called Caesarea Philippi, which you might have heard of. And Caesarea Philippi is a place where something quite important happens in the ministry and the life of Jesus, where Jesus goes there and he says to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter has this amazing revelation where he says, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah. I believe that you are God's anointed person for all of time." And the reason why it's interesting that he asked that question at this place, Banyas, is the fact that it was a place of a pantheon of gods. There's loads of temples there. So if you can see up on the screen, this big cliff face, and along this whole cliff face, there's little alcoves and places where different gods' statues were put in that place. And the big temple was to a god called Pan, which is where we get the word panic from. And Pan was a goat-legged god, and people were fearful of this deity. And there was a big temple there, and behind the temple was a big waterfall in the cave that then came out underneath, and it's the source and the start of the River Jordan. And what they would do at this temple was there's this hole in the ground with gushing waters underneath that came out of the mountain, and they would give human sacrifice into this hole in the water. And they would throw a body in there, someone who's alive, into this place. And if the waters came out clear, God was unhappy. If the waters came out blood red, then the gods were appeased. Horrific, horrific thing that took place here. And this place, this temple, in the midst of all these other gods that were there, and this pantheon of gods in this place, was known as the gates of hell. Because it was such a horrific torture that people experienced in this place. So it's into this place, into this environment of all these different gods, Jesus says to Peter, "So who do people say that I am?" With all these different gods out there, all these different ways to follow, all these different wise people to follow, all these different deities to follow, all these different things that you can give your life to, who do you say that I am, Peter? And Peter says, "I believe you're the Christ, you're the Messiah." He conveys what his life is all about. And Jesus says, "On this profession of faith, I will build my church." And he says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's talking literally about a place that was known as the gates of hell. And he's saying, this sort of allegory here, saying, if you profess faith in who I am, I will build family life with you, and whatever else you see, whatever else tries to have control in your life shall not prevail. Wherever there is evil, it will not take hold if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus alone. What are you trusting this morning? Is Jesus the person that you trust the most? But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is this morning? Let's take a moment just to think about that really seriously, because for some in the room, particularly if you've been a Christian a long time, we can go, Jesus is Lord, but actually, is he Lord of your life? Or are there other things that have taken root and are controlling and directing you? Is the pantheon of gods around us in the world actually sometimes taking our curiosity over that way? you build your life on what you put your faith and your trust in. You put your faith and trust in money, you'll spend your whole life trying to earn more money. Whatever you put your trust in, your faith in, is the thing that you'll build your life upon. And Jesus says, if you put your faith and your trust in me, we can build something which is called the family of God, which is transformational for the whole world. And it's based upon your personal declaration of who Jesus is. Going back 400 years, there were some people who started to question what was going on, the status quo of the church of the day. They were going, the church is telling us this one thing, but actually it's a period of time, 400 years ago, where people were starting to read the Bible in their own language. Because there's various copies of the Bible coming out in their own language, rather than being Latin, which only priests could read, and if you were a lay person sitting in the pew, you didn't know what it said, and therefore you had to rely on what the priests told you it said. But as a group of these people started to read the Bible in their own language, they started to question and go, hang about, some of these things that we're being told by the priests doesn't seem to be what the Bible says. And one of the big things for them was about baptism. And they were saying, they've been taught that baptism is your entry into the church, which you do straight away when you're born, you're baptized straight away into the life of the church, and that makes you a Christian. And they were saying, but what our Bible shows us is actually that baptism is something that happens out of your profession of your faith. That Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go into all the world and baptize everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were saying, hang about. Baptism is about your personal faith, not about just being part of an institution. And so there's this phrase that came about, which was about how Christian life for these early people, these people 400 years ago, were saying, it's about something called the regeneration of the saint, which sounds very fancy, doesn't it? Ooh. But what it means is personal faith in Jesus. It's that Peter faith of, who do you say I am? I say you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are this Jesus. And what these people 400 years ago were saying was, that's what matters. It's not about you attending church. It's not about being just part of the institution. It's about what God's doing in your personal life. It's about your personal faith, your personal walk. It's about you and Jesus together on the journey. And so 400 years ago is when the birth of the Baptists came about. And so, in 1608, a guy called John Smythe, or Smith, depending on how you want to pronounce it, a guy called Thomas Helwys, went to Amsterdam. In Amsterdam, there's more freedom and more liberty for your faith. They went to Amsterdam, and them and a group of other people got together, and they said, we believe it's about personal faith, not being baptized as a baby into a church that you might not necessarily believe in. And so they went, we're going to baptize ourselves again. So they, together, baptized themselves as a way of saying, we're not part of this institutional church, we are free from that, and it's about our personal relationship with God, it's about our personal walk with Him. And so this early group of people who were doing this started to be called Baptists as a derogatory term because their beliefs and their way of doing their faith were seen as a bit bizarre and a bit weird. They were dissenting from the mainstream faith and church, and they were being a bit weird. And one of the things they were doing was they were baptizing people as adults. How very strange. And so they got called this derogatory term of they're Baptists. And so then they started to own for themselves, and it started the birth of the Baptist journey, a movement of faith. And so in 1612, Thomas Helwys, he returned back to England to pastor the first Baptist church congregation in London. But what they came back to was an environment where they weren't allowed to share their faith, where their way of understanding it wasn't seen. but they were convinced that it was about personal faith and personal regeneration of what God does in your heart, not being part of an institution. And so the Baptist Union has three principles that kind of unite Baptist churches together, and the second of which is the fact that Christian baptism is the immersion in water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of those who profess repentance towards God and the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again on the third day. It was saying it's about personal faith in Jesus and who he said he was. But this wasn't tolerated by the politics of the day. And what the early Baptists started to do was talk about the idea of freedom of religion. This was a Baptist movement of saying, actually, we should have in society freedom of religion. And they weren't just saying that they should be free themselves to worship. They're saying anyone of any faith should be free to worship any God. Any way that they want to worship, they should be free. And Baptists fought and died not only to believe what they wanted to believe, but for others to believe what they wanted to believe. Baptists were the first people who started promoting the idea of freedom of religion, something we take for granted today in this country. But that context is part of this movement, of a Baptist movement, of being a Baptist church. We believe in freedom of religion, and people gave their lives so that other people could worship other deities. Because the principle was so important to them that they could worship their God. And with that, they believed in the idea that the church and the state should be separate from each other. So that where the Church of England is linked to the state, it's the state church, and there's parts of law and parts of the legal system that fit together with the church, which is what causes some of the problems that you see in the Church of England today, because they're linked to the legal system. But Baptists are saying, no, the church and the state should be separate from each other. Actually, you should be free to play your role in your religion as you choose to, free from political involvement in your religion. And equally, religion shouldn't get involved too much in politics. They should be something which is slightly removed from each other. They can influence each other, but they shouldn't be interlinked and intertwined, because then you get into a situation where the state controls your faith. And what the state can then use, religion, as a way of controlling people. And Baptists were dead against this, saying it's about personal relationship with Jesus. Not about state involvement, not about ways of controlling people, not about the institution. So it was about personal faith in Jesus, which is what we call a Baptist principle of the Lordship of Jesus. That Jesus is Lord and head of the whole church. We'll probably take some of this stuff for granted I'm going to share today, because you've been living in it in this place, if you've been here a while, without even realizing it. But the Lordship of Jesus was all about saying this. It's about your personal faith in Jesus that matters, not about the institution or a bishop or an archbishop. Who's the head of the church is not the bishop or the archbishop or the pope. The head of the church is Jesus. And because we all have a personal relationship with Jesus, which we express in baptism, and we don't say through communion as well, sharing in the sacraments. And sacraments is a fancy word for baptism and communion, which just simply means an outward thing that we do, which shows what's going on inwardly inside of us. It's about showing what we do, what's going on in our personal faith. Saying that Jesus is Lord, and therefore we can all relate to Jesus personally, and therefore as we walk through our faith, we don't need bishops or priests to get involved in our relationship with Jesus. We don't need to have mediators between us and God. We can experience Jesus personally for ourselves. This was radical in its day. That you can have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that he was Lord over all things. That the power and the authority of the church rested in Jesus, not in bishops and institutions. And because of this, because we don't believe in bishops and popes and all these types of things, what it means is that every congregation has everything it needs right here. And so Baptists start talking about something called the priesthood of all believers. It's a phrase you might have picked up, it's in the Bible. The priesthood of all believers. And what that meant was, everyone gets to play. Everyone has a part to play in the life of the church. It's not special people or holier people. It means that we are all seen on equal footing in the life of the church. And we can all engage in this together. The Bible talks quite a lot, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, about different gifts that we might have, which are all there for the building up and the use of the whole body of Christ, for who we are as a church. And so I'm called a minister, not a priest, because I'm here not to be the person in charge, but to be the person who's here. I'm here as a paid worker, actually, to help minister to the life of the church, to help it run. The authority I have comes from the church meeting, which we'll talk about in a moment, not from me. And all of that is held under the lordship of who Jesus is, because we all have a personal relationship with him. So the priesthood of all believers is saying, everyone in this room has different gifts and skills and talents which can be used for the building up of this church family. And you know what? In this church, anyone can lead communion. Hasn't got to be a priest. Anyone can lead a funeral. Hasn't got to be a priest. Anyone can do a wedding. It hasn't got to be a priest. Anything I can do, you can do better. Literally, everyone gets to play. It's not special people. There might be people in the church who are using their gifts more readily than other people. But what Baptist was saying was, it's not about a hierarchy. It's about a community sharing together family life. It's so that in a family, you all pitch in. There'll be days when you have to be the one who has to hoover. There's other days when you have to be the one who just puts the washing in. You don't kind of go, well, that's, you know, in the hierarchy of the family, that's a special job only for special people. No. We all have to pitch in, don't we? This is radical. It's saying we are all priests. We're all on that level with God where we all get to have that personal relationship, which means that we can all have fun together in the life of the church. You are no less than any other person in this church. There's an equality. And what the priesthood of believers was saying was, it didn't matter whether you were male or female, or how old you were, or how young you were. It didn't matter. You were all on an equal footing to be able to share your gifts in the life of the church. So the youngest child has a role in the life of this church. It's not when they suddenly become to a certain age that they can get involved. No, the youngest child has a place in this church. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, God can speak. And equally, if you're the oldest person in this congregation, I'm not going to look at anyone in particular, you still have a part to play in the role of this church. Everyone gets to play. The priesthood of all believers is for everyone, regardless of what you think your status is in the life of this church. And because everyone is part of this, the priesthood of all believers, and because Baptist was saying that actually within each local church, all the gifts can be ministered. You haven't got to have a bishop who comes from outside to come and help do certain things. That all the gifts are held amongst us as the priesthood of all believers. There became another principle in the Baptist life, which is the principle of autonomy. And the first declaration, the Baptist Union Declaration of Principles, says this. That our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh, is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, and that each church has liberty under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to interpret and administer his laws. It's a mouthful, isn't it? What it's trying to say is, Jesus is Lord, so we've just talked about. He has lordship, and therefore, because he's Lord over our church, we all get to be involved in that. And it's saying that Jesus is the final authority, not an institution, not church history, not church tradition, not church rules and regulations. The final authority is Jesus as revealed in the Bible. He is the final authority that which we seek to live our lives by. And notice how it's Jesus is the final authority, not the Bible is the final authority. Because some people try and tell you that the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, but actually it's Jesus as revealed in Scripture. It's about that personal relationship with Jesus that is the final authority in your life, as revealed in the Bible. And what it's saying is the fact that because we are a complete priesthood together in this local family, we have something that's called autonomy. Which means that actually we can do, as a local church, as we want to. We're free from any other institution. So it says here, we have freedom together to discern what God's saying to us as a church family. So it means that Baptist churches can have different ways of doing stuff. We're not all the same because each congregation is independent in its own right. And we can make our own understandings of what we think God is saying to us because we have the liberty and the freedom of our personal relationship with God to share that life together, to interpret and administer his laws. So different Baptist churches might have different ideas of how we do some of our faith and practice. The core essentials will stay the same, but actually we all have freedom to do that. But another essential part of what being Baptist is about is also not only being autonomous, but also being interdependent. As a Baptist church, we link together, we are networked together, and what's called the Baptist Union. Baptist Union is an organization that has no authority over our church. It doesn't run us, it doesn't control us in any way. It's there as a resource to help us together on our journey of faith. It's called the Baptist Union. And that's something that we relate to. It's a national organization. And we have Tim in the room. Bless his heart, works at Didcot, at the head office in Didcot, which is what we call our national resource, which is where the Baptist Union has its headquarters, effectively, if you want to call it that. And it's there to help administer things like safeguarding and good practice and policies and procedures. It's there kind of to resource the church in what we do. It has no authority over us. It's there to help us. We also think to something called HEBA, which is the Heart of England Baptist Association. We link not only nationally, but regionally with other churches in our area. Dave, put your hand up. Dave works at HEBA as a regional minister. And HEBA is part of helping to facilitate what God's doing locally amongst our region. And we relate to that. We've got Jo in the room as well somewhere, and she's a trustee of HEBA, I think, now. So people are involved in what we're doing regionally as well. We also link to what's called BMS, Baptist World Mission. And every 5p that you give in the pound goes towards BMS. When you give to this church, whatever you give, 5p always goes to BMS in the life of this church. Because we're supporting the mission of God around the whole world through the Baptist Missionary Society. We also think something called Fresh Dreams, which is a Baptist network of a leadership network, helping to inspire and give courage to leaders. And as a church, we link in with this, and I've been quite heavily involved with this more recently. We associate nationally, regionally, locally with other church ministers. I have prayer meetings with other local ministers as well. It's not just being independent, it's about being interdependent and sharing life together and getting involved with these wider things and ministries. So as we share this life together, we then have a principle together as family of something called membership. Now, membership is a word that we use, taken from the Bible, when Paul says we are members of one body, saying we all have a part to play in the life of the church. It's that priesthood of all believers. We are part of one body together. It's not membership like a club that you might join. It is membership in terms of saying, I am united and knit together with these people here for a common purpose and cause, which is following Jesus together in this place. Membership is a way of saying, I am committed to this local expression of church in this place at this time right now, and that I am going to follow Jesus in this community with people who live near me, who are local to me, and through thick and through thin, I'm going to walk with them in the good times and the bad times, no matter what, but I'm committing to this church family. We talked in the first week about how Jesus says that you're going to follow him, you follow him in family. If you want to practice following Jesus, the practice of community is vital to your Christian walk. So in this church, we have membership, which is saying, it's a way of saying, I am part of this body. That's the language that we use. It's not membership like joining a club. When you join membership of a club, it's all about the benefits that you get. Membership of a church is all about the family that you get to be part of. And so in membership, we commit as family of saying, we all agree that Jesus is Lord. We all understand that we all have gifts and skills that we can share in the life of this church. And what membership is doing is saying, I choose to take responsibility for all that happens in this place. You see, institutions that aren't like the way that we do church here, the authority of the church comes top down through archbishops, bishops, deacons, readers, priests. It comes down a hierarchy of authority. The Baptist way of doing church turns all of that on its head and says, actually, the authority of the church comes from Jesus as expressed through the members of the body. So in this church, it's the members who have the final authority in all that we do in this church. Not me. It's the membership. It's the members of the body of Christ under his authority who say what we do, what we don't do, and how we do things together. It's saying we are all part of this. We are all responsible. It's saying it's not responsibility of priests and bishops. It's responsibility of you and me and everyone together as a family to shoulder responsibility and the authority that God gives us to do family life together. We all get a part to play. And in this church, membership isn't something that you'll get asked to join. Membership is something you have to opt into and say, actually, I want to become a member of your church. It's not saying that you're not part of us if you attend regularly. But what membership is doing, it's taking that step to say, actually, I am choosing to follow Jesus in family with this group of people for this moment and this time. And I'm going to share what God's given me with everyone here. So membership is about saying, I choose to follow in family, giving what I have to others, rather than following as a consumer and just attending when it suits me. Well, all this is trying to tell you is this. Attending church doesn't make you a Christian. Personal faith in Jesus is what makes you a Christian. And if you become a member of this church, we have expectations of you too. Because we're family. And so in a family, we all pitch in. As a member of a church, we have an expectation together. That we share our time that we have, for the purposes of to help what we do here happen. We share our talents, the skills and gifts that we have, and also our treasure, the things that cost us. Because we are independent as a church, we have no money from outside of this church. Everything that we do here that sustains this building, that pays for my salary, that pays for the things that we do here, all comes from the faithful, generous, extravagant giving of this congregation. It doesn't come from outside. We're not paid centrally. It comes from us. Dave's salary, Tim's salary, all comes from what we give into what we call home mission, which helps to facilitate the wider things the Baptist Union is doing together. It comes from our extravagant giving, helps facilitate those things. So don't think, oh, someone else will do it. It's down to us, together as a family. The fact we have kids work every Sunday comes down to people who are faithfully giving up their time and service to make that happen. It's not just a commodity that you can go, oh, that's great. People are giving up their voluntary time to do that for you. People are giving up their voluntary time to lead us in worship, to make words appear on the screen, to make the sound system happen, to welcome you on the door. People are pitching in to make this happen. It happens by the faithful, generous giving of people who are saying, I'm family, and because I'm family, I pitch in. I do this together. So I'd encourage you, if you're not yet engaging in the life of the church as a church member, to really consider whether actually God's calling you to be more than just someone who comes occasionally, but actually to be part of the family that is here. And so actually I want to commit into that through thick and thin and part of what the family is here. As we share in family together, and we all find our place in that community as the priesthood of all believers, we're called to do that, to share love together. We talked a few weeks ago about how Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What it's saying is, so it's about a few weeks ago, the church is Jesus' school of love. If you want to learn how to love? Do family life together. Why? Because we will fall out, we will offend each other, but we're called to get over it and grow in love. So the church is the school of love from Jesus. And as we seek to love each other, so the whole world will know who it is that we live for Jesus. The early Baptists were sold out at the time of rejecting a common theology of the day from the Reformed theology of Luther, actually, and say, actually, salvation is for everyone, not just for a select few. Saying that actually everyone needs to know about this amazing Jesus and his love. They were sold out on the idea of sharing this Jesus with everyone. As we do community together, we share Jesus with everyone as people see the love of God in us. And the third declaration of principles is this, is the duty of every disciple to bear personal witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to take part in the evangelization of the world. That's what we're called to do, guys. Share this love that we've received with everyone. And it's wonderful. It's amazing. What a great love we have. It's not for the church to do it on your behalf. It's for you. Because it is everybody, everywhere, every day. You sharing love everywhere, every day with everyone. Wherever you find yourself, you are called to share God's love with the world. I know it's been a bit of a different talk today, but I want to explain to you why we do church the way we do church as a family. And why actually it's quite radical from all the other types of churches that you might find around this area. I love being a Baptist because it's a radical way of life that puts Jesus first above everything else and says we are all in it together. We're all in it together to live and share as family of God. Let's pray. So Lord, we thank you that personal faith in you is the center point of our faith. That we haven't got to come through priests or rituals or ceremonies, but Lord, we can come to you personally as our loving Lord and Savior. That you have made a way on the cross for us to be able to know you personally and intimately. Lord, thank you that we can show that in the work of baptism in our life. Lord, through sharing communion together as a family. But Lord, ultimately as well, by sharing in family life together, taking responsibility to administer your will in our community through this family. So Lord, I pray that you would grow family in us, that sense of commitment to each other and to you as we seek to love and as we seek to share. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.